Okay, hello everybody and good morning. Let me start by welcoming everyone to this special shiur on kavanos of the Arizal mainly, but kavanos intentions that one should have for Rosh Hashanah. Let me just for a moment share the evolution of how we did this cryptic entry to the shiur. You have to wait for the hidden Zoom link and you have to express that you want to come. Number one, the style of this shiur is very different than what I normally do. Normally it's like a Kobe Bryant Rosh Hashanah or something of that nature or some other shiur. And I started learning separately the kavanos for Shabbos, and I had gained so much from it that I felt there was something selfish about that, that I have this, I've been learning it, and nobody else seems to have access to it. And that seemed selfish and unfair. And I thought that perhaps one way to begin to share that with others is to be able to start with Rosh Hashanah. The reason why we did this in the way where you have to wait till you get the Zoom code and so on and so forth is I felt with teaching Kabbalah or teaching intentions, so to speak, there is a little bit of Hatznei Alechasim Hashem. There is a little bit of Tznius that I think ought to be required. And I think it should be done in a way that is sort of a closed loop group. We cap the group off to a smaller group, and whoever expressed interest and really wants it will go for it, as opposed to whoever just pops in and out, something like that. Again, I just think it's the nature of what we're dealing with in the topic, which isn't talked about a lot, certainly not by myself, and certainly not from the Rabban in my circles, that I felt the shiur ought to be in a way that's a little bit more tznius in terms of how we're giving the shiur. I'll see at the end if the nature of it lends itself to putting online and saving the recording. So we'll see and we'll go from there. What do I mean? What is this shiur about? I mean, kavana, intentions, what does it even mean? So intentionality and kavanas are basically a mindset. It's what type of mindset ought a person have as they're going into Rosh Hashanah. Not just overall, but also specifically before they engage in all the parts of Rosh Hashanah, the simanim milsa, having the simanim at night. By the way, small thing people don't realize, the simanim are not the new fruits. They're two different things. First night ought to be the simanim. Second night could be simanim again and a new fruit because you need it for the shechianu on the second night. There is no inyan to have a new fruit on the first night. Although since we buy a whole plethora of new fruits, people like to have one new fruit first night, one the second night. But the real inyan is the second night. Separate, that's not what we're talking about here. So the idea behind kavanas are what kind of mindset ought you to have before each of the activities or the engagements of Rosh Hashanah itself. But we're going to go a little further than that. And the illustration I want to use is something called binocular vision. What that means is, as we're living now, we see with only one eye. We see with one lens. And we see that we're ordinary people who have a certain surface level of understanding. And with just one eye, we see serious problems. We see social, economic, political, environmental dilemmas. Often they don't seem to have solutions. With one eye, we lack depth perception. Seeing with depth requires a second eye. And that's what I mean by binocular vision. And once we develop the second eye, we're able to see with depth. Now we see possibility. We see options. We see things that we normally would not have seen. It doesn't mean we aren't realistic. We're heads in the clouds. We still have that first eye. But the second eye allows us to see something else. And not only that, we understand how the world we see with the first eye can be used to make the world better. As one way to put it is, when you fall on the ground, you're going to have to use the ground to get up. And that's what I think kavanos really are. When you're dealing with the intentions of the Arizal and the like, you are dealing with binocular vision, seeing the world with a second eye, being able to see with a second eye. And that's what this is about, being able to develop that second eye. There are kavanos that we classically know about. For example, when you hear the shofar, we know you're supposed to imagine that Hashem is going to be your melech. That's one eye. That's the surface level. That's the kavana you learned in grade school. The kavanos we're going to be doing here are the next level. Now, let me just say this. One should not feel like they messed up and lost Rosh Hashanah if they don't have any of these kavanos. At the end of the day, Rachmana Libaboy, Hashem just wants our heart. Hashem just wants the relationship. And that's one of the Iker Avodas. I will quote you from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman of Breslov writes in his second book, Likutei Maharan Tanina, in Lamed Zion. Haklal, she'ikar tachlis, the main function and purpose, hu rak la'avod b'leilech b'darchei Hashem l'shmo yisbarach, to serve and go in the ways of Hashem, kedei liskos lahakir oso yisbarach, in order to recognize Hashem, uladasazo, to get to know Hashem, shezeho ikar atachlis, that is the ikar atachlis, the main tachlis is to have a relationship with Hashem. That's it, the number one kavana, that's it, that's the one you need. You want to have a relationship with Hashem. That's really the essence of even tshuva. One of the great Kabbalists who I draw from is Rav Itcher Meyer Morgenstern. The way he puts it is that the mahus of tshuva, the essence of tshuva, is lashuv el Hashem Yisbarach, to return to Hashem, lichyotito, to live with him, to live with Hashem. He even says all these ideas of tshuva, which in central elements of them are vidoy, charata, confession, regret, choosing, you know, deciding to do better. Those are all results of really the main purpose, which is just to be close to Hashem, lichyotito, to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So even if you fail in all these kavanas that we're going to talk about here, even if you didn't get them down, you didn't write them down, you don't have them, you're just going to keep it simple, that's fine. There is, you know, tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha. There is something to be said for keeping our relationship very simple. There's the famous story of the Baal Shem Tov. There's like eight different versions, but basically goes as follows, that the makri for the Baal Tokeya on Rosh Hashanah, for the Baal Shem Tov Shul, he prepared all these deep kavanas, had all these deep kavanas ready. And he gets to Shul and he can't find his papers where he organized the deep kavanas. And he's going nuts. He's looking everywhere for it. He's opening the shtender. He's looking everywhere. When finally he breaks down crying because the whole Shul's relying on the kavanas here for the tekiyas, and he doesn't have them. And he's crying and he's crying. And the Baal Shem Tov afterwards said that was the greatest shofar blowing ever. He goes, but how? I didn't have any of my kavanas. He said that those tears were all the kavanas we need. So there is something to be said for this shir not being necessary. It's not necessary for your Judaism. However, we're learning to develop a second eye. We're learning to develop how to deepen that relationship with Hashem, lichyotito, to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to be more precise in what we're focusing on when the different aspects of Rosh Hashanah, when we encounter the different aspects of Rosh Hashanah. So number one, we're developing the second eye, developing binocular vision. Number two, we talked about the Iker Avoda, the Iker Kavana at the end of the day is Ladas Oso Yisbarach, is to get to know Hashem. That's Rabbi Nachman, that's classic. Lichyotito, as Rav Itcher Meyer Morgenstern says, to live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another basic intention that comes even before this year is the intention that you must come in at least attempting to love, to have Avas Yisrael. I want to share with you from Rav Dov Cook. Rav Dov Cook is one of the great Kabbalists of our generation as well. He lives in Tveria. I met him once, and really a very impressive figure. So he talks about this. Let me share this idea. Kfi echus ha'ava she'ov adam et ha'melech, kach ohev hu gam kein epano shel ha'melech. According to the quality and measure that a person loves the king, Hashem, so too a person loves the son of the king. Af al pi she'eno makiro, even though you've never met him. Meaning you don't need to know the son of the king. If you truly love the king, then you're excited by all those in the orbit of the king. So he says, if one wants to be zoche in ahavta ahavta Hashem elokecha, if one is zoche and avas Hashem Elokecha and loving Hashem your God, kach zoche hu l'kayim v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, then incidentally, you fulfill v'hafta l'reicha kamocha. It's a great idea. It's so simple. I don't know why I've never thought of it. It's so basic and so fundamental. If you master v'hafta Hashem Elokecha, loving Hashem your God, then of course v'hafta l'reicha kamocha, then of course you love your neighbor. If you don't love your neighbor, it means you haven't mastered v'hafta Hashem Elokecha, because loving the king means loving the children of the king, and by extension, all of humanity. Rav Cook, Rav Avram Yitzchak Cohen Cook, the famous Rav Cook, says, Ava tzricha liot malea b'lev l'kol. Your love needs to fill your heart for all. But of course, we prioritize family, which is Klal Yisrael. And I think as well, one needs to go into the Yom Tov and the Yom Narayim. We do this at the beginning of Yom Kippur. We ask permission to pray with the Avaryonim, permission to pray with the sinners. We're asking permission to kick them out because they need to be there with us. And the Arizal was misakin before tefillah, a way for a person to mekabel upon themselves the mitzvahs aseh v'shel v'haftas Hashem Elokecha, And that was the tikkun of the Arizal, that before davening, a person has to institute a special tefillah for a person to forgive others and to love other people. That's a fundamental element of loving God. And therefore, anyone who's here wants to deepen their spirituality, deepen their relationship with Hashem. And the two go hand in hand together. There has to be at some place a love for other people, a love for other Jews. Even if they're hard to tolerate at some point, even if you get annoyed, there still has to be at the end of the day, it's okay to get annoyed. At the end of the day, there has to be a love for Klal Yisrael. And these are the basics. So before we even get to any of the kavanas, like we haven't even began this year, but we have the Iker Kavana, Rabbi Nachman, is Lichyot, as Rabbi Shemeyer, Lichyot im Hashem, to get to know Hashem and to live with Hashem. Number two, we talked about the idea of loving Klal Yisrael. That's an essential element. And you can't truly love Hashem if you don't love Klal Yisrael. The two go hand in hand together. Just like one loves the king, you love all those in the king's orbit. And that's the same idea. Now we're ready to go even further in. Let's go a little further in. I want to share with you from Rav Charlap in the Meimarum. Rosh Hashanah, Beyichud, specifically Besha'os Rishona Shalayam Rishon, in the first hours of the first day, Mofia Az Bechol Suge Havaya Ha'aris Mamada Shahayu Lifnei Chet Eitzadas. In the first hours of Rosh Hashanah, there begin to emerge the Ha'aris, the lights that were there from before the sin of the Eitzadas. Because those hours at the beginning of creation, they were the most qualitatively precious hours in our entire existence of civilization. And every year, when we go back to that point in creation, before there were the details of the world as we know it, before things could be ruined, we go back to this pristine state. But comes the kilkulim. And everyone longs, without realizing it, to go back to that place. Praise are the tzaddikim gemurim shenichtavim v'nichtamim az l'chaim, who are written and sealed for life, because they truly mitalim l'marom habramomim, they go up to the upper heights, litom mignom Hashem, and have tasted from the pleasantness and the sweetness of Hashem. They've gone to that place from before creation. So part of the purpose of having these kavanas is to help us with this goal, that at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, we're going to a place before the world fell apart, before there was the sin of the Eitz Hadas. We're going to that perfect universe, that place that was really heaven for everyone, Shemayim for everyone. We're trying to go back to that state. So the purpose of these kavanas is to put us in a mind space where we are trying to achieve this very lofty goal of what Rosh Hashanah is able to transport us to, which is before the time of creation itself. Another thing to be said, these are all still introductions. We haven't touched Kavanas yet, truly touched Kavanas. Another thing that needs to be said is that what if one went through Rosh Hashanah and felt nothing? So I read to you from the words of Rav Yitzchak Meir Morgenstern. Nishmaso margisha ki'ilu rechoka hima Hashem isbarach. You may feel, your neshama may feel like it is truly distant from Hashem. Aval be'emes. But the truth is, ein metzius lehitrachek mimenu yisbarach. There is no possibility to be distant from Hashem. Ki hu etzem achayim. Because he is the essence of life. The idea that we are far from Hashem is a perception problem. You can't possibly be far from Hashem. Hashem is the essence. It's like saying, let's say you don't think about the air you breathe, right? So you're far from that air. You're so distant from air. I haven't thought about it today. You're not distant. It's always there. Your oxygen is always there, or else you wouldn't be alive. Hashem is etzem achayim. You're always close to Hashem. It's just you have a perception issue. You have a perception problem. How am I close to Hashem? I'm not feeling it. Okay, so these were all Hakdama pieces. I think you could take each one of those nuggets on their own, and I believe they're exceptionally valuable for us appreciating and coming out of Rosh Hashanah feeling in some ways empowered and strengthened for the year. Now, what are these kavanas? Kavanas, as I said, are intentions, specific thoughts that one ought to have if they want to go deeper in their thoughts. It's developing this binocular vision, the second eye. The kavanas come to us, and there are many different layers of kavanas. There's abulafia kavanas, which are very deep and meditative, hovering over Hashem's name. We can get to that if we ever do further and deeper shiurim. The kavanas here are the kavanas of the Arizal, the Ari HaKodesh, and they've been transmitted to us in a very specific and tangible way through the Rashash. Rashash is Rav Shalom Sharabi. Rav Sar Shalom Mizrahi ben Yitzchak Sharabi was born 1720 in Yemen. Moved after a great disaster. He pledged that he was going to move to Yerushalayim, and he did. He moved to Israel, and he became one of the most important mekubalim in the last 500 years, one of the most reliable transmitters of Toras Arizal in terms of how to practice some of these intentions, these kavanas. Now, you've seen the kavanas Arizal and don't realize you've seen them. Sometimes, in the sides of Siddurim, certain Siddurim, Hashem's name is written a certain way. There are many layers we can go. I'm going to try to keep it as fundamental that we can here. That'll still be valuable. Okay, so let's begin. Rosh Hashanah night, we have something called Simone Milsa, right? We have, when we come home from Shul, the different Simonim. By the way, you already have your Kavanas. You go into Rosh Hashanah, let's just review. You go right into Rosh Hashanah, your Kavanas should be, first of all, Avdu Hashem Elokecha, you're going to love Hashem, your God, and by extension, that's Avdu L'Reach Kamocha, loving everybody else, coming in with peace and love and trying to have love for others and for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to have an intention to try to Lichyot Im Hashem, to live and get to know Hashem a little better this year. And also, you realize you're going back, as Rav Charlap said in the Maamarim, to a state from the beginning of creation, that pristine state of perfection. You're entering into that space and trying to find a way to be comfortable in that and relate to it and see it as an inspiration point. Rosh Hashanah night, when you come home from Shul, you have the Simone Milsa. You have at the table the different Simonim, the omens. The Gemara in Krisus talks about these different Simonim. Right. One of them that we know the Gemara actually does not focus on is the dipping the apple in the honey. But you have the karsi, you have leek, you have selek, beet, you have tamarim, you have dates, you have chara, you have gourds, pumpkin, you have gezer, carrots, you have rosh keves, you have the head of the lamb, you have rimon, you have pomegranates. Different people have different minhagim. Now, I noticed in one of the svarim I was using for Mitra Meyer Morgenstern and Kavanas Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't have any Kavanas by the Simone Milsa. So I called his gabbai to find out what Kavanas am I supposed to have for the Simone Milsa. So he asked for Mitra Meyer Morgenstern. Mitra Meyer Morgenstern said, just check the Kavanas of the Kamarna Sitter. Oh, I'm like, thank you. I'll check the Kavanas of the Kamarna Sitter. I got off the phone. I'm like, what's the Kamarna Sitter? I have a lot of svarim. I don't have the Kamarna Sitter. I went on HebrewBooks.org. There's no Kamarna Sitter. I went on the Otzer HaChachma. Thousands of svarim. There's no Kamarna Sitter. It's called Heichal Bracha, by the way. So I called Beagle Eyes and I said, what's the Kamarna Sitter? He said, Heichal Bracha. It's out of print for 20 years already. So I called around. In the valley of Los Angeles, there's a great grandchild of the Rebbe of Kamarna. He has the Kamarna Sitter. He took the pictures for me of the section on the Simonim. There isn't a lot there. So I was like down sent on this like cryptic chase, this rabbit hole. So I was looking at it here, a photocopy of the Kamarna Sitter. So in the Kamarna Sitter, all he has in the Simonim mentions the Minhagim of how he did it. By the way, he would do the dip the apple on, he would do Hamotzi. And after the Hamotzi, here, let me make sure we got that right here. Here, Rebbe Hayatovel Prusa Shabbatza Melech Vidvash, he would dip his Hamotzi in bread and honey. Afterwards, he would make Bari Parates. After eating the challah, that's when he would do the Bari Parates and taste from the apple and then dip it on the honey. And then he would say the Yehi Ratzon. So the Yehi Ratzon should not be a hefsik between his bracha and his eating. That's a good halacha to know as well. Different minhagim on that. I'll be honest with that. And he wouldn't mention Hashem's name in the Yehi Ratzon. Different minhagim on that as well. He would not eat fish the first night of Rosh Hashanah for Simone Milsa. Why? Because fish represent Hashpas Hayuretis Bizman Hagolus, the Hashpa that comes down during the time of Golus to prepare for the unity of the world to come. And that was not that unity was not found in the time of Avram and Shlomo. Deep stuff. He doesn't have fish the first night. Most of us have fish the first night. If you forgot to make fish or the fish turned that bad, you could just say you have a Kamarna Minag not to have fish on the first night of Rosh Hashanah. Now, Kavanas. First of all, on a basic level, the words themselves, the Hiratzen, are the Kavanas. Those are the Kavanas. I think we have them from the Abudraham. Those are the Kavanas. Like, for example, apple and the honey. Yiratzen, Nefesh Elokeinu, Avzinish, Techadesh, Aleinish, Tava, you should renew. This year should be a good year. Umesuka, sweet year. Mereish, Hashanah, Adach, from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. Where Avigdor Nevinsal says that we should be sweeter this year. Right? It's a sweet new year. That we should be sweeter this year. Okay, each of these have a Yehi Ratzon, so you don't need my help for it. They have a Yehi Ratzon, which explains what the Kavanas are. Just to go into a little bit of deeper what the Simone Milsa are, the depth of them. So I share to you from Rav Itamar Schwartz in the Bilvavi Mishkan Evne. Rav Itamar Schwartz says the following. A symbol, a simon, is in essence a symbol to the essence of something. When something isn't openly revealed to our eyes, you need a simon so that we know it's there. Show me a sign. God, show me a sign that you're there. A simon is a sign to something which is usually hidden, a sign of life. For example, when we look for life on Mars or Saturn or wherever else, we don't know yet if we're expecting to find life. What we're looking for first is to find signs of life. That is what a simon is. That is what a simon is. So to say a little deeper, Rosh Hashanah is about life and death, right? It's about the Sefer HaChayim and the Sifrei HaMesim, the books of death are open on Rosh Hashanah. Had Adam eaten just from the Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life, there would only have been life. But Adam ate from the Eitz HaDas and death came to the world. And we've been connected to death ever since. Meaning, in other words, real life, true life, what it means to lichyos im Hashem, to live with Hashem, as I mentioned before, in our current state is hidden from us. So we don't have the essence of life in our current state, but we have a simon that can awaken us, that can remind us, that can give us a clue what the essence of life is. Simon is from the word sam, which is poison. When simonim are used for a holy purpose, simoni milsehi, then the evil sam, the sam amavis, becomes sam achayim, becomes an elixir for life. When we understand that this world is just a mashal, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand our calling is to find the deeper meaning of life, that instead of everything being a trap, it could be a symbol for something deeper. The Gemara in Krisa says that the fruits that we use, the simonim that we use, they're supposed to be things that ripen quickly. Right, that's why we chose those first, and what we're saying is the symbolic idea there is that the Eitz Hadas was an unripe fruit; it wasn't ready yet. And the way it's rectified in Rosh Hashanah is we want things to ripen quickly to rectify that which was unripe about the Eitz Hadas. Now, take for example some of the simonim, and they truly come to life on a deeper level. So Rashi says Kara is called Dalas, which is gourd. And we assume pumpkin. And it's mainly a food fit for human consumption. But the Mishnah elsewhere says that animals also eat the las. That's in Shabbos. So what is rubia? Rubia is fenugreek. Rubia is how we sanctify animal food. How do we do it? We sanctify it by eating the las, which raises it from the level of animal food to human food. So through eating kara, the las, and rubia together, we raise the animal food to the level of human food, elevating the status of the human, which is ultimately what we're trying to do, to position ourselves back to that state before everything got messed up. The depth behind the apple and the honey, a deeper idea behind apple and the honey. So the Gemara lists five simonim to eat. We know from the Shulchan Aruch, and almost every Jew knows, that you dip apple in the honey, and there are many reasons given. But based on what we're saying is the word apple is tapuach. Tapuach is also from the word pesach, an opening. And this is the gateway, the simoni milsa, the simonim that you begin Rosh Hashanah night, they're the gateway, the kavanas for the rest of Rosh Hashanah. They're opening it up. Why? Because it's saying to us, everything now is a simon to remind us of a deeper world. We're only seeing the surface. This all comes back to what we said at the beginning. We're not seeing with binocular vision. We're seeing the world with one eye. The kavana of the simoni milsa is to remind us that there is a deeper world that we're not seeing. We're seeing the fruits, but we're not seeing the meaning behind it. We're not seeing the purpose behind all of existence, why we're here. And therefore, these things, the fruit's not holy itself. It's a trigger. It's a symbol. So when you get the ticket for the luggage, right, in case the luggage is lost, you need to track it afterwards. That's not the luggage you're holding. It's the symbol to remind us that there's luggage somewhere. The same idea here. The apple and the fenugreek, they're not the holy thing. You're not supposed to, you know, be careful that you are with reverent. No, we treat them a certain way because they're the reminder for us that there is etzem achayim out there. There is the essence of life out there, which we have not been connecting ourselves to. And And we can connect ourselves. I won't say we can, that we have to. We can connect ourselves to a deeper layer of life, which is what we're doing here. I still think all of this is just introduction because now I want to get to the Kavanas of the Arizal around the shofar blowing. And Rabbi Meir Morgenstern says that these Kavanas, while they are focused in their most intense version around the shofar blowing, the truth is they are the Kavanas throughout all of Rosh Hashanah. They're the mind space throughout Rosh Hashanah. So we're going to use this. This is the shir. I mean, this part is what I would call the shir. And that was the introduction. And it's probably going to be shorter than the introduction, but we'll see. This is the shir. Okay. On Rosh Hashanah, we go back to the matzav at Bria Sa'olam, at the creation of the world. There was nothing there beside the Or Ein Sof, beside the eternal light, the endless light. But in order to create a world, Hashem was forced to be mastir, to hide his light. And now it seems that we have a metzias bifnei atzmo. And because of that, it seems like we have our own independent existence. We're here. We're like a boss, so to speak, right? We exist independently now. That's our perception. But the truth is, our existence comes from Hashem, and His light is what sustains us at every moment. Our existence is not independent of Hashem. It's an illusion and a perception created by the tzimtzum that was necessary to create a world. Let me explain that again. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless light, and the world is an Or Ein Sof, endless light. But the world cannot exist with endless light, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to contract it. That's Tzimtzum. These are Kabbalistic concepts. Tzimtzum is the contraction of that light to make space for a world to be, to make space for a world to be. And when Hashem was hid his light, so to speak, to make space for others. Imagine going to a party and let's say you have the biggest personality in the room. You're going to have to dial it back in order to make space for others. But where the mashal fails is that in the mashal of the party, everybody has their own independent existence. Here in the world, nothing exists independently of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It is kivyachol. It is as such. It is from a perception of such. Now, there are two madrigos. There are two levels. The first level is Elohim, right? God's name as Elohim. That's what we call Mabat Hachitzoni, our external eye. We feel as though we have independent existence, but we know who runs the show. If you are in a game show and they ask you, do you feel like you exist independently? I think most of us would say yes. If we're on a game show and say, do we believe we run? Do we truly believe we run everything? I think deep down we know that Hashem runs everything. That's the Bechina, the Madrega of Elohim, Elohim, that God, I know God is in control of everything. God runs the show. But there's an inner truth, Mabata Pnimi, an inner truth. It's recognized by the Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. The inner truth is no, we're all Hashem's light. We are all Hashem's light. We're not just beings being sustained by Hashem. We are Hashem's light. We have the Bechira to be, we have the choice to choose to live with the world under that yichud, where we not only have a mabata chitzoni, the external view of Elohim, that God runs everything, but rather the Shem Havaya doesn't just run everything. We are Hashem's light. We have with us a Tzelem Elohim. We are part of that light itself. We're not independent from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and He's in control of us. No, we are part of that. That understanding, that grasping is what we call, is an important term. It's what we call hasagas hayichud. It is the grasping of the unity of Hashem, that it is all, everything is all Hashem's light. There are not disparate parts. The world seems to have disparate parts, but it is our perception. It's not fake. It's not that it's there, but there's a unity behind it that we're not grasping, that we're not understanding. How did that develop? Another important Kabbalistic concept. It's called the Sod Nesira, the secret of the slicing. By the way, we're doing these deep Kabbalistic stuff. We're on Zoom. I'm not a Kabbalist. I should have put this note at the beginning. I am not a Mekubal, obviously, and I'm just sharing with you the teachings that Mekubalim put in print for the masses. So if they meant it for nobody, they should not have printed it. But again, that goes back to the famous Baal Shem Tov story where the eating of the, you know, where they have to grind up the gem from the crown of the king to feed it to the child who is sick. And they're like, but you're destroying the king's crown. And the answer was, no, what's purpose is the king's crown? What purpose is the jewel if I don't have a child? And therefore, the king was needed to grind up the jewel in order to feed the king's son. So to what Kabbalah, the Hasidus realized that if we just keep this hidden away from everybody, if we don't grind it up in a way, because we're sort of hurting it by making it so available, then we're not going to survive. We need these deeper teachings. We're hungry for it. It's why people ask to be in this shir. We're looking for something deeper. The Sod Nesira was the secret of the slicing. At beginning of creation, there was a great slicing that happened. When the Tzimtzum happened, there was a slicing that made us feel distant. There's a little machlokas when the Nesira happened. But the idea is we now feel distant and a separate part of HaKadosh Baruch. We feel like we're from a different world, so to speak. And we have to bring back to lichyot im Hashem, to live with Hashem. So let's review these deeper layer kavanas. Rosh Hashanah, we go back to a matzav prior to the Briyas Olam, creation of the world. And then Hashem had to hide his light, so to speak, to make space for others. There's two madregas. One is Elohim, where we sort of feel that we have independent existence, but we know that Hashem runs the show. Havaya is the inner truth where we know, we all recognize we are all part of Hashem's light. We have the ability, the choice, the bechira, to reach that other level. That level is called, that bechina, that second level is called hasagas hayichud, the grasping of the unity, which we fell away from it because of the sod nesira. Now, let's go further in. The essence of our avoda on Rosh Hashanah is sha'anu nimlach et Hashem yisparach, is that we coronate Hashem. What do we mean by that? We coronate Hashem with a ratzon, with a will to be included within him, to be part of him, to reveal that we are misvatel before Hashem. And we want to be zoche, to be one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rotzim liskos liyot echad imo, to be one with Hashem. I want Hashem as my king, not externally as a job description, right? That's our old Rosh Hashanah. That's last year. We're no longer there anymore. I want Hashem as my king, not externally as a job description, but sod hayichud, internally. Hashem is in charge of everything within me. On Rosh Hashanah, it's not just Kabbalah soul, accepting the yoke of heaven, but it's arrival at a recognition, a hakara, that he is yachid ba'olamo. He is singular in the world. He's the world. And this is the primary avoda during shofar. It's really and truthfully an inner coronation. It's not an external coronation. God is going to come marching into the world. That may be the mashal of the image of the king in the field. But right now, the image is not that. Iker kavanas ha'avoda, the main kavanas ha'avoda and tkiya shofar, is lahamlis et Hashem Yisbarach, to coronate the king, bahamlacha pnimis, with an inner coronation, that there's a hakara, that there is nothing beside HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ein od milvado. That's the coronation. Not the coronation, he's the most powerful king in the world. No, she'ein klum chutz mimenu, ein od milvado. There is nothing else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You are merely a kli for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light. All pain and suffering all comes from a detachment to that light. It comes from, I mean, think about it. Pain and suffering is a result of the ego. I don't mean in the negative sense, but rather in a sense of self, and the universe revolves around that self. But if I am mevatel myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light, then there can be no suffering for that pain. Now, we're human. We all suffer for the pain we're in. But just in terms of hashkafa, the less attached you are to your own ego and your own sense of being a mitzius bifnei atzmo, life is about me, the less it, I mean, think about it. If everything is about you and you just made a fool of yourself in front of other people It is so painful because life is about you. Think of someone doing cosmetic surgery, a celebrity whose whole life was about them, everyone laughing at them when they were on stage or watching them and enjoying them. And now all of a sudden, their whole physicality begins to fall apart. They'll do everything to hold everything in place, just to hold up their identity, not realizing the essence of who they are is nichlal b'toch oro shel Hashem Yisbarach. And the more we could detach from that, the less we suffer in this world. What is a shofar? What is a shofar? A shofar is a cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu without words. I'll say it like this. Sheretzoneinu b'cha malkeinu. Our will is that we want you, Hashem. V'anu lo yecholim bli or panecha. And we cannot be without the light of your face. We cannot exist without your light. There is no way. And therefore, that is what a shofar is. It's, I say it again. It's a cry out to Hashem. And it's an expression of our will saying we want you as our king. We cannot live. We cannot exist. We cannot be without Or Panecha, without the light of your face. So that's the kavana that we have when we say Ashrei Ha'am. The kavana, the intentionality by Ashrei Ha'am. By the way, the word kavana is kivun, is direction. It's where to aim. You want to aim properly on Rosh Hashanah, right? You can only achieve so much as you aim in the right direction. So the kavana is Ashrei Ha'am Yodei Trua Hashem Ba'or Panecha Yalechu. That's what we say by the shofar blowing. Ashrei Ha'am praises the nation Yodei Trua, who knows the Trua of Hashem. They understand it. It's us. It's what we're doing here. They yodei tru Hashem. Ba'or panecha yaleichun. They go in by the light of your face. We only live. We only exist. Ba'or panecha, the light of your face, your countenance. That's the only way we exist. So we've now re-understood what that great, powerful line is. It's usually a powerful moment in shul. You're about to blow the shofar. So it has a very strong, nostalgic feeling for us. But now there's a deeper intentionality to it. Let's get into the kavana of the tekiyas specifically. Hashrat, right? The shofar blowing, for those who don't know, is broken up into multiple sets because there's a machlokas in the Gemara of how to achieve the right sound. The first set is called tashrat. We do a series of tekiya, shvarim, trua, back at tekiya. Tekiya is the long straight sound. Shvarim is the three sound. Da-da, da-da, da-da. The trua is the nine blast, and it's kia again, the one straight blast. Here are the kavanas. By the way, again, if this is all too much for you, just have kavana to do tshuva, to have a relationship with Hashem. If that's all you take away, great. But the deeper kavana. The first tekiah is I mamish don't want to be separate. I mamish don't want to be separate. That first tekiah. Shvarim. What ends up happening is that certain dinim begin to challenge you. Meaning the moment you accept Hashem into your life, accept Hashem that I don't want to be separate from you. That's when all the judgments come upon you. The dinim begin to challenge you. The shvarim, right? Tekiah's straight blast. Shem, I just want to be connected. Shvarim, everything begins to break down. It begins to break. The dinim are coming up against you. The judgments now are coming up against you. Why does it come specifically when we cry out to Hashem? It's like a funny time for it to come. It says, b'melech b'mishpat yamid eretz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the king through justice, establishes the land. Therefore, dafka, we want to reveal the Or Pnei Hashem. That's when the Gilui becomes revealed. That's when Din comes up. Meaning, you're going to live with Hashem. There's a price to pay. There's a certain expectation of our existence. If we're going to live it, meaning if I live with no God, if I, God forbid, and I live as though there's nothing, I can live a hefker life. I can do what I want. I can hurt people. I can enjoy life. I can do whatever I want. Now, it's not a very fruitful life. You end up imploding. But the point is there's no rules. There's nothing to think about. You don't have to be conscious. Do whatever you want. You could just crash and burn. But once a person chooses to live and they want that life that is just with Hashem, okay, then the dinim start coming in. You got to hold strong because next is the trua. The truah is where you're asking Hashem to sweeten those dinim, to make the load lighter. Yamte, it's called hamtakas hadinim, sweetening the dinim. Okay, so, and then you come back to the tekiah because the dinim have been sweetened and now we're just with Hashem. That's tashrat. You got it? Tekiah, I want to be just with Hashem. I don't want to be separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to be just with Hashem. The shvarim, the dinim then begin to challenge, but you have to push through. The rest of the way, we reflect them through the spheres. Let me say that here. Go back. I went too quick into that. Sorry. The first tekiah, as I mamish don't want to be separate. Then the shvarim, the dinim begin to challenge us, but they begin to challenge us. Dinim come up. Then what happens is, see the light, the Or of Hashem is entered. Or of Hashem is entered. Then the light, then the shvarim, sorry, the dinim. Then the trua. We ask Hashem to sweeten the dinim. And then we come to the tekiah. We're still standing. We've sweetened the dinim. Hashem, we held on through the storm. That's an intention. Now, what do we do through the next sets of tekiahs? We then have, after that, after tashrat, the next series of tekiahs when you hear the shofar is what we call tashat, tekiah shvarim tekiah, without the trua. What you're going to do now is the following. We're going to take that same structure of kavanas, but you're then refracting that main kavana, meaning that one main kavana, which is I don't want to be separate from Hashem. You then process it through. You then process it through the spheres. What are the spheres? I can't do a whole shiur now on the spheres. The spheres are basically 10, they're 10 kalim, which, here, say it better, or God's light, right? God's light. God's light is so intense and it's held through certain kalim, through certain vessels. And those vessels refract God's light in multiple ways. It's like you can, here, I'll give you a mashal, a crude mashal a little bit, but you see a movie and you see it one way the first time you see it. Then you read a book about the movie, about the background, and now you see a movie the whole different way. Then you take years where you learn about composing and music. And now all you do is hear the music of the movie. So you're seeing it a different way. You could see the same movie in 10 different ways. The spheres are God's hanhaga in this world, the emanations in this world, where you have the different ways of refracting God's light in this world. Those are the spheres. Now what we're doing is we're taking each of this experience of wanting to be with God, which is in the mashal, the movie, and we're appreciating it and we're connecting it through different vantage points. So I'm going to give you this comes from the Mezritcher Magid now, the 10 most basic definitions of how to understand each one of the spheres. By the way, here are the spheres and their translations. That's separate. We're going to go deeper than that. You have Chachma, Bina, and Das. Chachma is wisdom, Bina is insight, and Das is knowledge. That spells the acronym Chabad. That's where Chabad comes from. You have after Chachma, Bina, Das, you have, let's say, Gvura, which is strength. You have Tiferet, which is translated splendor. Netzach is eternality. You have Hod is also a variation of splendor or light. You have Yesod, which is foundational. And then you have Keter. Right, you have Keter, which is the crown, or Malchus. Yeah, Malchus, which is kingship. So, let me take these spheres and utilizing the Mezritcher Magid's intentions, he gives you a definition of how to understand each one in a very simple way. Again, they're different vantage points from which to see the movie, from which to connect to Hashem. So, Chachma, wisdom, is bittel. Chachma is where you nullify. I don't. It's not my thought. Everything is what God has thought for the world. Bittel. That contemplation brings you to a further level of longing for Hashem, which is Bina, to see deeper within and to accept upon yourself all of the Midos, which is Das. Let me break that down and clarify again. What you're doing with Chachma, Bina, and Das, and this is specifically for over here, is you are first Chachma, your first wisdom, meaning what is the intellectual thing you need to do here? I want to go even one step back. What is Chachma, Bina, and Das? Chachma is the raw information, right? It's the data. Bina is the analysis of that information. Das is the application of that information. Okay, this is better. I like this. Scratch the last 2 minutes. What is Chachma? Chachma is the information. Bina is what you do with that information, is understanding the information. Das is then applying the understanding to now do something different. So, for example, let's say here is Chachma, wisdom. I look at all the information, and I have all the information. Is the guy is striking out 60 times, struck out 60 times. Bina is the analysis of the information. He's striking out only against right-handed pitchers. Das is the application of the information. Therefore, put him in only when there's left-handed pitchers. Okay, so Chachma is the information, Bina is the processing of it, Das is the application of the information. Now, as that applies to here by shofar blowing, you should have this kavana by the last tekiah of the first set, by the tashrat, that last tekiah. So what's our kavana by tekiah, by the tashrat? First kavana is, I want to be Hashem, I don't want to be separate from you. Shvarim, all of a sudden the dinim are coming at me, I know I have judgments, I'm going to hold on. Trua is where we ask Hashem to sweeten our dinim. The last tekiah, I'm still standing, but here's specific to kavana. Chachma bina das. What's the basic information, the raw data of Rosh Hashanah? That I am avatal myself to Hashem. That's the raw information. What is the deeper understanding, the being of that? That kind of thinking that I'm avatal myself to Hashem is going to bring me to a greater longing for Hashem. What then is the application of that information? And therefore, because of that, I'm going to take upon myself all the different midos, the rest of the midos that you're going to learn about. Again, number one, Chachma is the raw information. The raw information here is that Hashem is in charge of everything. I'm about to myself to Hashem. What is the Bina, the insight that's going to come of this? Oh, is it now because of that, I'm going to have a greater longing for Hashem. And the Das is now, what do I do with that analysis? Now, because of that, I have to agree to take upon myself these midos. Now, pause. Here is how the Mezutra Magid explained the rest of these midos. Chesed, the Mida of Chesed, is loving Hashem. The Mida of Gvura, which we explain as power, is really about having Yiras Shamayim, reverence for Hashem. Tiferet is the image of God that comes to us by view of Dveikus, cleaving to God. Again, remember, there's different vantage points to see the movie. Netzach, which is eternality, is us being stubbornly loyal to Hashem. Hod is an acknowledgement, Hodah, that all is from Hashem. Yesod is to connect with all with one's might to Hashem, and also connect all of Bria. A great analogy I've saw of Yesod is it's the elevator. It's sort of the transporter to the different mitos. It connects everything all back to Hashem. And then in general, to work on Avas Yisrael is all part of the greater element of Malchus, of what this is exactly, these mitos. So let's review. Chesed is Chachma Bina Das, we know already. Chachma's data, Bina's insight of the data, Das's application of the data. Chesed is loving Hashem. Gvura is reverence of Hashem. Tiferet is cleaving to Hashem. Netzach is stubbornly loyal to Hashem. Hod is acknowledgement, all is from Hashem. Yesod is to connect with all one's might to Hashem and connect all of Bria, and meaning connect everything together. And then in general, there's Avas Yisrael that surrounds it all, which we've learned about also at the beginning of this year, how to build Avas Yisrael. This is just the Mezutra Magid's definitions. I find that they're simple and they work quite well. Now, what do I do with this? When you get to Tashat, which is the next series of shofar blowings, Tekiya, Shvarim, Tekiya. So the first Tekiya, you have in mind to bring within yourself the Or and Mida of Chesed, of loving Hashem, to awaken that love for Hashem within you, but apply what we learned about Tekiya before, that you want to mavatle yourself. You just want to be, you do not want to be separate from Hashem. So you're marrying the Machshava of Tekiya from the first set. This is getting hard, but hold cup. You're holding Tekiya from the first set, which is I'm mavatle myself to Hashem. We learned that already. I do not want to be separate from Hashem. Merge that now with an intense love, Chesed. Now, Shvarim. Remember we said the Shvarim awakens the Dinim? That now aligns with the Mida through of Gvura, of bringing Yiras Shamayim into our world. Then the last Tekiya, which we said is that you're still standing, it's the application of it all. That's Tiferet, which we, Tiferet, according to Mezutra Magid, is Dveikus. Now you're able to cleave to Hashem because you held on. Now let's go to Tarat, which is Tekiya, Trua Tekiya, the next sets that come up on Rosh Hashanah. Tekiya is to instill within yourself now the Mida of what, remember Tekiya. What is Tekiya always? That we don't want to live separate from Hashem. We want to be like that, Netzach. Netzach is stubbornly loyal to Hashem. We are with you. We are on your team. No Yitzhahara can get us. Trua, remember what's trua from before? Trua is we ask God to sweeten the dinim. That is now connected to hod. We refract it through hod. Hod is the acknowledgement that all is from Hashem. Hashem, all is from you. You can sweeten the dinim because everything is from you. You're in charge of everything. And the last tekiah, remember, which is the application, we're still standing, now refracts through yesod. Now that we're still standing, we have to bring in the midah of yesod, which is this connection to Hashem and connecting everything back up to Hashem. Hashem, we now see it. We now get it. Everything is now all connected right back up to Hashem. And at that point, that last tekiah, perhaps even the tekiah gedola, is to intend through a feeling to makabel upon yourself the midah of malchus. That's all malchus shemayim, the greatest king of all. And if you love the king, you got to love others. They're all connected to the king. They're the bnei ha-melech, they're the princes and princesses of the king. It's all connected together, and it all becomes one tapestry. Those are the kavanas. There's a deeper level here where you're picturing the different names of Hashem, which we are not going to be doing in today's shiur. That is the kavana set for the shofar blowing. As I said before, Rav Itchmayer Morgenstern says these kavanas are applicable throughout the entire Rosh Hashanah. This sort of series and this sequence, and it's you could do it for Rosh Hashanah night when you get to davening Rosh Hashanah night. You could do it when you get home for dinner at the Rosh Hashanah meal. It's funny that, I mean, this is a work in progress. This is not a perfect art. You know, we're living our regular lives that detract from kavana. We're just trying to be more intentional. It's like I started this whole, you know, for myself, this growth in terms of appreciating Shabbos. And you come home to the Shabbos meal and you want to have all these hundreds of kavanas, and, you know, and the kids are flying off the table and the salad falls down and everything that happens. And you're sitting there trying to have your kavanas and being all spiritual. It's God sort of laughing. I imagine God sort of laughing and smiling that we're doing our best. And that's just the main thing here, is to do our best, to make use of some of these kavanas when you can. The ikur of kavana is that you want to lichyos im Hashem Yisbarach, is to live with Hashem and to be connected to Hashem. And that's really what we must work hardest on, is to have that relationship and to mevatel ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, I thank you all so much for joining today, and I hope on some level enhances your Rosh Hashanah.